Larry McNamara. I'm Eric Carley. Welcome. Hey, look, Trooper Dial's here. That means it's Ask the Law.
Yay! Woo-hoo!
Brought to you by our friends at Old Blue USA. Gary, how you doing?
Yeah, my team lost.
Well, so did the Cowboys.
My, you know, I'm telling you, that was... I thought my Bills loss was bad, but the Cowboys. Oh, I couldn't believe that.
I didn't see it. I just learned from Clint, our producer, as I walked in. I didn't watch the game. I said he was, you know, because he was kind of mumbling. He said he's a big Cowboys fan. I said what happened? And he told me about the big. They just blew it.
They're up 27-3 in the third quarter.
Yeah. Blew 24 points.
Yeah, the Bills only blew...
Go Cowboys!
What did the Bills blow? 14-point lead.
Yeah.
They blew. But for my Bills, it didn't surprise me because they have no defense. They've given them 3 games in a row, 450 yards plus. So that they're lucky they're 3-1.
Yeah. But. By the way, no truth to the rumor that we have seen moving vans at Tony Romo's house in Irving. I'm just saying there's no truth to that rumor.
I mean, that first interception especially was
Remember when Parcells was on his way out and everybody just said, well, you know, he needs to go. And it's like, well, no, they'll never do this, they'll never do that. And I was like, no, you don't understand. Jerry will make changes where he needs to make changes.
I sort of forgot about Parcells.
Yeah. So Jerry will definitely make changes. I don't know that it will be Romo, but this ain't working. Because now you have two seasons under a new coach that just simply haven't worked out. You can write off last season to an injury of your quarterback, but
problem is there's nobody out there.
Yeah.
There's no quarterbacks out there.
No, there's not.
Right now there's none, so they're gonna go with them.
Yeah.
What are they, 2-2?
2-2.
2-2 in a division that isn't that nobody's running away with it.
Yeah.
So they still have a shot at this.
Congratulations to our friends in Detroit. The Detroit Lions have come back from deficits a few times now.
Yes.
They've done very well.
20-0.
What are they, 4-0 now?
You know something?
4-0.
They did what the Buffalo Bills did. They came back from more than 18-point or at 20-point now. They've just broken the new record. Two weeks in a row you had the record broken because they were down 20-0 last week to Minnesota and 27-3. So that's 20-plus points 2 weeks in a row they came back.
Just incredible. Yeah. There's your football update the Midnight Radio Network. We welcome retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol here. He's here, drivers, to answer your questions. It is Ask the Law at 800-288-9227. You have a question on hours of service or any other regulatory item, this is the time to get it in. It is Ask the Law for Monday, October 3rd, 2011, and all the information is up to date, can change without notice. We want to let you know that comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. You can go to the website, askthelaw.org, click on the big red button that says email, Ask the Law, anytime to submit your CMV questions. Trooper Dial, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Hey, we're glad to have you here. We've been waiting, I guess everybody's been waiting, on some kind of NPRM here on Hours of Service. Nothing yet. However, I guess you saw the four lawmakers last week put out a statement saying if the Obama administration changes hours of service, they're going to do what they can to step in.
Yes.
And they didn't say specifically what they would do. And the only thing I can think of is come up with a law that would trump the rule.
Yes.
You would have to, and I would assume these four Republicans would get together, sponsor a law, and say, all right, this is what we want. And we want it to look exactly like, by the way, it was John Micah of Florida. It was John Duncan of Tennessee. It was Bill Schuster of Pennsylvania. And it was Sam Graves of Missouri. These four Republicans.
They sent a letter, and I'm not exactly sure. There was, I guess it was John Boehner. Sent a letter over to the president wanting to know any changes or anything that would have a effect on any entity that was going to cost $1 billion or more, something in that neighborhood.
Right.
And supposedly if FMCSA starts tweaking any of the hours of service. They're already projecting that it would cost $1 billion just going from 11 hours to 10 hours.
Yeah.
So I think these four legislators are jumping on the bandwagon and saying that you start messing too much with it, it's already been said that it's going to cost over $1 billion by just dropping 1 hour. You start making a whole bunch of wholesale changes, then we're going to step up and possibly introduce legislation that would make it a law rather than a rule.
You know, and that's where it gets kind of tricky. If you put it into if you put it in there as a law, then you start getting the attention of other lawmakers who
yes.
may be disagreeing with these four Republicans on what there should be, because now you're going to get the unions involved. The Teamsters want that 10 hours of drive time.
Mm-hmm.
So the Teamsters and unions have a considerable amount of leverage on Capitol Hill, so they're going to call on their representatives to get in there and start challenging it. And here's the problem. If we, and you know, this has been my observation all along, you get lawmakers in there, they start messing with it, and then all of a sudden there's compromise there, then you get some kind of hours of service that nobody likes that becomes law that literally takes an act of Congress to go back and change.
Well, what happens is when it's a rule, FMCSA has to go through the rulemaking
right,
process.
Right.
When it becomes a law, it can change at the drop of a hat.
Yeah. Well, it can change as Congress sees
correct.
That it should change.
Well, and that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
You know, every time a new administration comes in, or any time you have a new legislator in there, and then you know somebody says, "Well, I don't like the way that is."
Right.
Now, then they'll start amassing
right.
Enough votes to sit there and say, okay, we'd like to make a change, so they make a change.
Right, right.
And so, you know, the difference being as a rulemaking, there's steps that have to go through for a rule to be changed.
And that is, part of that is the public comment period.
Correct.
We don't have that with our lawmakers.
Correct.
You can call them anytime you want and tell them what you like and don't like, but it is not an official docket where all of those comments essentially become a part of public record.
That's correct.
And that is that's a huge difference. Drivers, you want to get in on CSA, hours of service, anything else, 800-288-9227. We would love to hear from you. We're going to talk a little bit about CSA here in just a few minutes. I know we've had some drivers send some emails over the past couple of weeks saying, this happened here, that happened there. And I don't know how this is going to affect my CSA. If you have any questions, 800-288-9227, now is the time to get in. Again, 800-288-9227. More on hours of service, more on CSA coming up, and your questions. Again, 800-288-9227. We're back with Ask the Law in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
Ask the Law, a service of Old Blue USA. We're here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol. I want to remind you all the information is up to date as of today, Monday, October 3rd, 2011. Can change without notice, and comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only at 800-288-9227. We will go first to line one, where Jamie is, 800-288-9227.
Hi, Jamie. Welcome to the show. You're on.
Hi. I just have a question on the CSA 2010.
Okay.
If you're given a violation of a flat tire and a light out, and you put the warning and you repair it, it still stays on the CSA 2010, yet I'm not fined for the violation by the state of Texas. How can that be?
Well, what they do, Jamie, is FMCSA has never looked at whether or not a violation resulted in just a warning or a citation. What FMCSA looks at is a violation of the DOT regulation. So if a trooper or an inspector writes up a roadside inspection and the violation is noted on the inspection, FMCSA looks at the violation, not where the violation resulted in a citation being issued.
So I'm just it was repaired within an hour of it happening.
Right.
My luck, just driving right by a black and white on the side of the road, and both the light went out and the tire went flat. So within an hour, it was repaired, and he said, "You're free to go." Well, I am free to go, I guess, but if I get one more violation with the company I work for now, I've lost my job.
Hmm. Well, here again, Jamie, FMCSA in the CSA program never has or never will determine whether or not a driver keeps his job or not. That is something that is done strictly with the motor carrier you are employed by.
Okay.
FMCSA, what they do is they have no in the current program they have now. FMCSA never will set rules or have regulations that will that says you will no longer have a CDL once you get to a certain point. That never will come about. Your license cannot be taken away from you because you have a score too high. That will never happen. What FMCSA does is they say, okay, Mr. Motor Carrier, if your score in one of the seven basics gets to a certain threshold, then interventions can occur. But if a driver gets a roadside inspection today, you know, and gets another inspection the next day, and another inspection the next day, at no point will FMCSA step in and say, okay, Mr. Driver, you're fixing to lose your CDL, and you know, it's all by the wayside.
But if the company feels like it's being pressured by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, then they'll just let the driver go.
Well, this has been my contention. This is my opinion, not Monty's, and not anyone's at Old Blue USA. My problem has been is that it creates an environment where there is almost an overreaction in the private sector with the companies that are responsible for hiring these drivers, even though your CSA score does not follow you from carrier to carrier, and you should know that too. What happens is, if you, let's just say, heaven forbid, Jamie, you were to lose your job and you went to another carrier, that all of that would go away. Your score would not go with you. But there are ways for those carriers to find out, you know, what has happened in your past, in your recent past. And what they will assume is that level of behavior will continue, or that level of events would continue under their authority. And when they do that, they assume that they're taking on too great of a risk, and they'll make that decision accordingly. Now, it's unfortunate right now. However, I think what we will see in the future is we're going to have such a shortage of qualified drivers once we start getting away from essentially all these drivers who have nothing on their CSA, and now you're going to have to start looking at those who have something on their CSA that maybe they can explain. Your situation seems like something that's very self-explanatory, something you could sit in an interview and tell them what happened, especially if there's nothing behind it, because it goes back, Monty, what, 3 years?
Yes.
So if going back 3 years, they realize that this was an isolated incident, then while your carrier right now may not want to carry that risk with them under their authority, It's quite possible that when you go to a new carrier, they're going to look at that and you can explain to them, here's what I've got on my CSA, here's what's going to show up, and here's what it is. And if you look at the rest of the three-year period, you'll see that it's relatively calm. There were relatively few events here, and that's not the way I operate. I am a safe driver. And then they would be willing to take that risk. They're likely going to take someone without any events, with no events on their CSA ahead of you. However, those choices are becoming few and far between even now. So it's a concern of mine. It's one of the opinions that I've said, that I've stated about CSA. One of the conditions is that it creates this environment, and there's almost this overreaction. But I do believe that that's going to level out, and companies are going to force to look at drivers who are qualified and look at their entire three-year period. And if they're a smart company, they'll be doing just that. Jamie, thank you so much for the call. We wish you all the best, and great question. We'll get back to Ask the Law here in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Carley.
We want to remind you that Ask the Law for Monday, October 3rd, 2011. All the information here is up to date, can change without notice, and comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. We thank R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA for making this possible for many, many years. And you can go to their website, askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org. Click on that big red button that says Email Ask the Law, and you can submit your CMV questions anytime. Let's get back to you at 800-288-9227.
And let's talk to Johnny in Oklahoma. Johnny, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi.
Good morning, guys. I've got a question for Trooper Dial. They have recently posted a sign on a road that I've used for 15 years, parked down this road. And the first day they put one up that said, no trucks allowed. They had some homeowners that had complained, obviously, of the truck traffic through there. And the place that I park at, it's a pretty good-sized trucking company and a repair company. And that very next day, they come back and put a sign up, no through trucks. What is the legal definition of the sign, no through trucks?
Okay. Eric had me turned off.
I didn't quite like your answer there. No. Okay, so what's the difference between no trucks allowed and no through trucks?
Well, first off, what you're going to have to do, Johnny, is you're going to have to go back and figure out if this is in the city limits, what is the ordinance. Next thing you're going to have to do, if it's not inside the city, now you're going to go back and figure out what the commissioners meant. Typically, when you get into situations like that, when they mean no through trucks, is trucks cannot go, you cannot go from point A to point B and use this road as a means to get from A to B.
There has to be essentially some destination point along that route officially for you to be there.
Correct.
Okay.
No trucks allowed means no trucks can go down that road whatsoever.
Right. And usually that's because of a weight restriction, but if they have a weight restriction, don't they usually post that along with it?
Okay. Yes. Typically, where you're going to find it is in your municipalities, inside the cities. They do not want trucks using those routes. That's when they will put no trucks allowed.
Right.
On the other hand, they will allow trucks to make deliveries, but they've got to turn around and come right back out the same way they came in.
Yeah, my neighborhood is exactly that way. Yeah, there's two routes to get in and out.
But no through trucks means you can't go from point A to point B and use that route to get from A to B.
Yeah, in basically using that route as a shortcut in a lot of times.
Correct.
Okay. 800-288-9227. We'll get right back to you.
And let's talk to Jim in Fort Worth, Texas. Jim, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
I just have a real simple question about commercial vehicle regulations as far as
delivery type drivers in the state of Texas.
Okay.
I just need to know where the cutoff point is, because 3 to 5 years ago, all of a sudden, I was getting lumped in with 18-wheeler drivers and CDL people, and had to go down and take a physical and all that stuff. And I thought, well, you know, why is it I have to do this just because I'm a service guy here in the DFW area driving a 350 dual-wheel pickup? So I need to know what the cutoff point is. I've heard that it has to do with how much the GVW, the weight goes, but I just need to know what the regulation is.
Okay, first off, Jim, do you pull a trailer?
What's that?
Do you pull a trailer with this?
No.
Okay. All right. Next question is, do you haul anything?
What we do is we haul stuff that has to do with our service that we're doing, and sometimes we may haul up to as much as a ton.
Okay. Well, no, what I'm trying to get at is under the Texas Motor Carrier Safety Regulations, you are not subject to any of those regulations unless the actual weight, registered weight, or GVWR of the vehicle is 26,000 1 pound or more. That's for intrastate only. The interstate regulations become applicable if the GVWR or actual weight is 10,000 1 pound or more. But that's only if you cross the state lines or you pick up a load or drop off a load that has crossed the state lines.
Okay, so what you're saying is as long as we're in state, it's 26,000. If we're doing interstate stuff, it's 10,000.
Yes.
Okay, that's what it is, because that makes a lot of sense now.
Are you leaving the state?
Well, sometimes we do and sometimes we don't, but yes, we do go into Louisiana now and then.
Okay. Yeah, and the thing is, all you have to do is make one trip a year, and the rest of the time you're subject to the interstate regulations.
Hmm. Okay, yeah.
There you go.
That's because we also have people that are 18-wheeler drivers, because we do have trailers. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, that makes sense. I was wondering why. We got lumped in with everybody else.
Well, there you go, Jim. We appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Now what determines if they're intrastate or interstate? Is it for that particular vehicle, or is it for the carrier as a whole?
The vehicle itself.
Okay, that particular vehicle. So if Jim never left the state,
right,
in that particular vehicle,
right,
he wouldn't be required to have the CDL as long as he stayed below 26,000.
Correct.
Okay. But if he goes into Louisiana once in a while...
Well, I think his question, though, had to do with the medical, the DOT medical.
Right,
and
right.
The thing is, so he can operate that vehicle and never be required a CDL. But at 10,001, because he crosses the state lines, now then he has to have a DOT medical.
Okay.
He has to keep a logbook for that day, right, and so on and so forth.
Right.
The CDL is based strictly on the GVWR. His vehicle by itself, never towing a trailer, would never have to have a CDL to operate that vehicle.
Right.
But the medical kicks in at 10,001, because he crosses the state lines once a year, he has to have a DOT medical.
There you go. So that DOT medical is going to have it available for any officer that asks for it. So you're going to have to go into a way station if the way station light is on?
Yes.
Anytime a way station light is on, Jim, he's going to have to pull in.
Correct.
Okay. 800-288-9227. Back to your questions in just a moment. Ask the Law continues next
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network, and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
We're here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Old Blue USA. All the information is up to date. As of today, October 3rd, we were just saying during the break, it's October 3rd. We're well in now to the fourth quarter of 2011. Wow. And this information can change without notice, and any comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Back to you at 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Ben. Ben, hi. You're on the Midnight Raider Network. Welcome. Hi.
Okay. Hi. How you doing?
Good. You're on the radio.
All right. I was just going to ask Officer Dial, I got pulled over for... having a ball on the back of my truck, and I've had the same truck for like 11 years. I was just wondering whether the trailer hitch ball is still legal in the state of Texas.
You got pulled over for what? For having a trailer hitch ball?
Yeah, for having a trailer. He said it was obstructing my license plate, but it's been on there for 11 years, and I've been pulled over before, and nobody's ever said anything to me about it.
Hmm. Is this on a pickup or on a big rig?
It's on a regular S10 small pickup truck, and it's in... mounted in the spot that the factory made for it.
If it's blocking the license plate, is it illegal?
No.
It doesn't look to me like it's blocking the license plate.
No.
Hmm. Well, the only thing we can say to you is challenge that one in court. If you've got a day in court, we do appreciate the call. I would challenge that one in court. Sounds odd to me. Do appreciate the call at 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Vic in Indiana. Vic, hi. You're on the Midnight Raider Network. Welcome. Hi.
Good morning, guys. Are you familiar with the term the chameleon trucking companies, where they open up, shut down one day, open up the next day, and there are a lot of the bad operators out here?
Yeah. In fact, there is right now a big case, one that gained national attention was the accident in March of 2010 in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yep.
And the trucking company that was involved in that accident that killed 11 people, 10 members of one family, and the truck driver shut down operation. And then there was a new company that came up that had the same equipment and had many of the same drivers, and they're saying they are not the same company, and there is some contention there. But, yes, we are definitely familiar with that. Your question?
If I, my perception might be wrong, but if I understood right, when a driver goes from a company, say a company lets him go for too high CSA points, if he goes to another company, his points don't follow him.
Correct. That's correct.
So it looks to me like that will be, because I'm familiar with some of those operations, and they prey on drivers that, used to be the old DAC report, that were in a little bit of trouble or something, and they didn't treat their drivers very well. Sometimes they didn't pay them and a whole lot of other stuff. And what I'm wondering is, under CSA 2010, would this almost be like enhancing the ability or creating a greater problem for these chameleon trucking companies, because drivers are going to be, going to them, but if they're let go by a reputable carrier, and some of them will be bad drivers and some will just be, by luck of the draw, happen to accumulate points.
Well, yeah, Vic, you are pretty much right on track. What's going to happen is if here again, FMCSA is not going to determine whether or not a driver or whether or not a motor carrier has to terminate a driver or not. There's been a lot of speculation that they think the insurance companies are the ones that's going to determine whether or not a driver will be able to stay on with the company or not. Who knows? FMCSA says they will not release the driver data to anyone, to a third party, at all.
Right. I guess his question was, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Vic, is that will it make it easier for these chameleon companies to operate? Let's say they want to go out of business and then hire many of the same drivers, and since their CSA scores don't come over to that new carrier under the new authorization, the carrier doesn't have the same score. I guess his question was, does it make it easier for that type of activity to occur?
Well, what's going to happen, though, is when they shut down under, just let's say ABC.
Right.
And they open up as XYZ. The fact is, if they still have the same drivers.
Yeah.
that behavior is still going to continue.
The behavior is still going to be there, but then also what they're going to do is they're going to see that they're going to have the same drivers under this.
Okay, stand by. We'll do more after the top of the hour on Ask the Law.
On the Midnight Radio Network.